Welcome to the Fantasy Renaissance Men. I'm Johnny Bestball, joined by my co-host, Clayton the Boss Hog. Join us for a discussion on how to win fantasy football, and prepare to be entertained by our amazing analogies and insight. Oh, yeah. Welcome in to the Fantasy Renaissance Man. On our show today, we are going to have a bit of a fun mid-season type of a thing going on here where we're going to talk about some mid-season MVPs and busts. Now, granted, it is a little bit past mid-season, but it's kind of the mid-season in our hearts where it transfers from the regular season to the postseason focus, where everything from this point forward is all about positioning for the postseason. So anyway, we have some of that. We have trade targets in the spirit of postseason positioning. And then we have some start-sit decisions for Week 11. Clayton, how are you feeling on this fine day?
I am feeling great. How about you, John? I know you've been a little under the weather recently.
I may not be feeling 100%, but compared to how I was feeling yesterday, I will say I am feeling fantastic. So that's about all I can thank for. Yeah. Just as a reminder to all of you listening, subscribe to the show, tell your friends about it, and please give us a rating. You can also connect with us on social media at tfrm.podcast. And that's all I've got for now. So we're going to go ahead and get on to some news.
I have some very urgent and important breaking news. Cannonball!
Kaboom! I think that was a little bit of a go-to. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's what we'll say.
Like a Samoan chieftain or something. Yeah, I like it.
Yep. I kind of went the safe route and just did some kind of a deep resonating sound. It wasn't very original on my part. I should have put a little more effort into thinking about that one.
Well, it got me ready for the pod, so.
Alrighty.
I think you did it right.
You want to take the news on this one? Because you were the one that kind of prepped it a little more this time.
So, first up for the news segment, we have Devon Achane. He is back in business. I know a lot of people are going to just, crap their pants, throw him in their lineups, and hope for 50 points. This upcoming week, that's very possible. He should definitely be in your lineup this upcoming week. He has a great matchup. After that, though, I just want to limit expectations, because we've seen this over and over and over and over and over again, where some guy off the waiver wires goes crazy for a couple weeks, gets hurt, and then he comes back, and then he's not that great. Not near expectations. We'll see if he's the starter. Coming off their bye, I also want to see if Jeff Wilson is maybe involved in this offense a little bit more, especially with Mostert looking like he might miss this upcoming week. It's still up in the air on that. So, Achane should definitely be in your lineups this upcoming week, but after that, we'll just limit expectations a little bit on Achane, because his efficiency was absolutely insane those 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would agree there. I think as far as Jeff Wilson is concerned, I'm inclined to believe that he's not going to be a big hindrance to Devon Achane. I think however many touches Baltimore wants to give Achane, they will. And then it'll be Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson that get the rest of them. So maybe they'll say, hey, we want to get, 12 touches a game for Achane. Hopefully it'll be more than that, but, they might only be 12. Let's say they want to get him 12 touches a game, and then there'll be a leftover 16 for Mostert and Jeff Wilson. I think that's kind of how they'll handle it. Based on what we saw when he played, he's got to be in your lineups until something changes, unless something never changes, in which case he will always be in your lineup.
That makes sense. Up next, we have Zay Jones. So he's been injured a lot. He looked pretty good and like a stable part of that offense whenever he did play. But now coming back, he has been charged with domestic battery and missing practice, or limited in practice, I should say. So it's unclear how much he'll be limited due to his injury, or if maybe the league will take steps because of his legal issues. So Zay Jones is definitely not someone I would roster, really, just because his injury still seems to be lingering, and it's questionable whether or not he'll even play another game the rest of the season.
Yeah, and this also makes me a lot more comfortable with Christian Kirk rest of season. I was always happy about Christian Kirk and what he's done so far. With week one, he was less involved, and that was Zay Jones' best week, one of the only weeks he actually played. And so there was a little bit of a worry that if Zay Jones and Christian Kirk were both on the field, that would end up reducing Christian Kirk's role. But now that you don't need to worry about Zay Jones returning, I think Christian Kirk is looking pretty good.
All right. And then next we have, unfortunately, Deshaun Watson underwent a season-ending shoulder injury this last Tuesday, I believe. And so he is out for the rest of the season, obviously, which unfortunately makes the Browns look like a completely different team. They were looking to be a serious playoff contender, definitely like lower down on the peg with their offense looking a little bit jittery, but having probably the best defense in the league, they were looking like making a playoff run. And with this, it seems highly unlikely with Thompson, their quarterback.
Dorian Thompson Robinson.
We saw, what, 1 or maybe 2 weeks of him, and he looked absolutely horrendous. We'll see if maybe he's improved a little bit since then. But, yeah, I'm hoping that they bring P.J. Walker back. But as long as Dorian Thompson is there, I have no hope in this Browns team.
Yeah, the thing about his one game he did play is it was kind of a last minute. He was thrust into action. And as a rookie, I don't know all the ins and outs of what kind of reps and preparation they got beforehand, but this week he is getting all the starter reps, and he's practicing as if he's going to play, so hopefully that will help. He also did have a very impressive preseason. He was kind of balling out in the preseason. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm hoping for the Browns' sake and for his sake that it ends up being better than we saw before, because nobody's going to want to watch the Cleveland Browns play football if it looks like he did before. The biggest disappointment, honestly, for me about this whole situation is the fact that I will now never get to know if I was right or wrong about Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns this year. Because I was high on him in the offseason, and I thought they were going to be, you know, one of the best teams, and I liked Deshaun Watson as, I don't know, you remember, Clayton, we had those debates, and now we won't get to know who was right for sure.
Yeah, see, I think we do, because I was still arguing that he was not good just this last, I think last week. So I don't think that Deshaun Watson was quite what we were hoping, or some people were hoping that he would be. But he's definitely better than any of the alternatives that they have now. So it's pretty clear that, unfortunately he's, we'll have to see maybe next year, how he plays.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I thought he had some really good moments. Like even just this most recent week when they played the Baltimore Ravens, he didn't start out playing super well, but then the second half he went 14 for 14, I believe, and helped the Ravens have a comeback against a really good defense. And he's had other moments throughout the year when he wasn't injured where he played really well. So we'll see if he can come back from his shoulder surgery. I don't know. I'm not going to be as optimistic next year on him. I don't think he's going to be worth it. Probably not worth a top 12 quarterback draft pick, which in my mind means not worth drafting in fantasy football at all. So So did something happen with your mic there? You sound like something's about to change.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. I just realized that I have accidentally been using my headset mic for the first 10 minutes, but thankfully I got that change for the meat of the episode, so the audio quality on my side should improve for the rest of this episode.
Alrighty. So let's get into some of the fun mid-season discussions. We're going to check in real quick with our top 10 teams. I'll go ahead and list off my 10, and then you can list off your 10, and then we'll talk about similarities and differences afterwards. So 1 to 10, I've got the Eagles, Kansas City, Baltimore, Detroit, Cincinnati, San Francisco, Dallas, Miami, Jacksonville Jags, and Seattle Seahawks.
Understandable. So I have the Eagles, the Ravens, Kansas City, Bengals, Lions, the 49ers at 6, 7 is the Cowboys, 8 as the Steelers, and 9 as the Jaguars / Seahawks. I couldn't really distinguish them, so I just put them as like 9/10.
Alrighty. We've got the same top three teams, the Eagles, Ravens, and Kansas City. We've got them in slightly different orders. We both have Eagles at 1, and then I have Kansas City 2, Baltimore 3. You have Baltimore 2, Kansas City 3. Honestly, I'm not mad about that. I think that the Ravens are deserving of number 2.
They have just looked so lights out recently. Like, they look like a complete team. Because the way that their offense is fairly balanced, I still want to see a little bit more in the passing game for Lamar Jackson. But he has shown flashes of what that offense can do. So if they can just kind of tweak it a little bit and get that a little bit better, I think that they're going to be extremely strong Super Bowl contenders, which, I mean, obviously they already are. And then that defense on the other side, we're talking about the best defense in the league is probably the Browns. Well, the second best, and giving them contention for the best defense in the league, is the Ravens. They look extremely good this year.
Yeah, I would say that apart from Patrick Mahomes potentially being the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, the Ravens' offense is head and shoulders better than the Kansas City offense. And then both of their defenses are really good.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
Alrighty, after that, we have Detroit, the Detroit Lions, and the Cincinnati Bengals at 4 and 5. We have them swapped in our rankings. Once again, I am not upset there. I have Detroit ranked higher just because they've done a little bit more so far this season, whereas the Bengals started off kind of slow. But I don't know. Do you have a particular reason that you decided to go Kansas City over Detroit?
Yeah, so this is kind of the next tier, certainly, from that top three, is 4 through 6, in my opinion, including the 49ers as that third team, which we both have at 6. And I just put the Bengals at the top because I think that their upside is is Super Bowl winning if they can pull all the pieces together. And, you know, get T. Higgins healthy. I think that the Bengals can win the Super Bowl, certainly. Whereas the Lions, they just kind of seem like the bridesmaid to me this year. I just have a feeling about them. They look very solid, well-rounded, kind of like the Ravens. Good defense, good offense. But they just don't seem to have it to me to actually win a Super Bowl. That's kind of my problem with the Lions and why I have them at 5 is they look to be just under what is needed, in my opinion, to make it to the to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Lions are hard to trust since they've been so bad for so long. So I understand that for sure. The next two, we are actually in lockstep. We both have the 49ers at 6 and the Cowboys at 7, and then at 8, I have the Dolphins, and this was maybe my biggest surprise. I think it was 2 weeks ago, you did your top 10 teams, and the Dolphins were number 3 or 4, maybe. and now they are not on your top 10 at all, man. What has gone on, dude? Like, you've sold all of the Dolphins that you possibly can. Tell me what's happening.
I'm selling my stocks, man. I bought a bunch of stocks and I was selling them like it's hot. So I watched, y'all know if you listen to this podcast by now, I watch pretty much all of the games every week. At least all the interesting ones. I skip some of the boring ones. But the Dolphins, they look so good, man. They just were destroying people over and over. And they put up, 60 points or 70 points on the Broncos. And so they gave me that gleam in the eye. They just, eye candy. They looked amazing. I was like, oh, wow, these Dolphins are serious. And since our last rankings, I have watched the Dolphins games. And I have seen them look extremely vulnerable. Their offense has been shut down by great defenses. Their defense has been exploited by good offenses. And what are you going to be facing in the playoffs past the first round? It's going to be good offenses and defenses on both sides. We talk about the Ravens. We talk about the Chiefs. We talk about the Eagles. Each of these teams, they have good offenses and defenses, which the Dolphins have not shown a propensity to be able to overcome in any of their matchups. The only thing I see going for the Dolphins at this point is that they do face a lot of good teams for the rest of the season. I think like almost all of their matchups are against top half of the league teams. And so if they can learn as a team to beat those type of teams, to overcome, okay, well, this defense is stifling, how do we actually overcome it, because we can't just rely on Tyreek Hill putting up 200 yards, then how, that is really the only way. The Dolphins have a lot of room that they need to grow in order to actually be a serious playoff contender. Can they do it? Maybe, but they have to actually do that. Right now, if we played the playoffs right now, they would be out in the first, maybe second round.
Yeah, that's fair. I think the Dolphins are really going to need to focus up the next 6 weeks and figure out what they need, what kind of adjustments or different game plan styles they need to change in order to be more competitive against good teams, because they obviously have a lot of talent, but they play in such a way that it doesn't work when they play good teams. So I don't know, man. That's why I do have them down at 8.
Yeah, and the Dolphins certainly could make it to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's definitely a possibility. Like, the talent that they have on this team is insane. It's just a simple fact that they have a lot of growing to do in the next 2 months in order to do that. So I'm not going to, I'm not going to put them in the top 10 if they are currently not a top 10 team. They're going to have to prove it to me to put them there.
Yeah. At 8, you have the Steelers, who did not crack my top 10. They would probably be my number 11 team. But do you want to talk up the Steelers?
That. Yeah, it's just they have – it's just the AFC, man. The NFC North, I think it is. This conference is just ridiculous, which is insane because only a couple of years ago, this was the worst league or conference in the AFC. Like, I think the – Steelers got in with a negative record or something like that. But now this conference just is, all four teams are ridiculous. And the three best defenses in the league are the Ravens, Steelers, and Browns. I don't know exactly what order they're in, but they're all in this conference. And the Steelers defense really is the reason that they make 8. The only reason that they are below the Ravens and were previously below the Browns before Deshaun Watson's injury is that their offense still has a lot of proving to do to show that they can actually be good enough to make it deep into the playoffs, because right now their offense, it can be okay at times, but at other times it can be trash. That's kind of seems what it is. So That offense really has a lot of growing to do. Maybe learn how to get Deontay Johnson back, work with Kenny Pickett a lot more, or Pickens a lot more. Get their running backs to actually have some type of efficiency, especially, Najee Harris, especially. So that offense, if they can just get to a little bit better, then I think that these Steelers can be a serious team.
Yeah, the reason that they are as good as they are, they have the record they do, is they are majorly in the green when it comes to turnovers. I don't remember what the number actually is, but it's something like they're plus 16 in turnover margin so far this season, or something like that. So, you know, obviously, turnover margin is a major, major component of winning and losing games.
TJ Watt coming around the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, my ball.
TJ Watt has single-handedly won them probably, would you say, two or three games?
Oh, yeah. Easily, if not more. Like, I have seen multiple games where it's just TJ Watt taking over the defense. It's been absolutely insane.
Yeah. The reason I don't have them in my top 10 is they are bottom five in the NFL in points per game on offense. So that's not great when it comes to competing against other top teams. But like I said, I would put them at 11, so I'm not hating on you for having them at 8. After that, we both have the Jags and Seahawks at 9 and 10. So there you go. That wraps up our top 10. Is there anything you want to say on the Jags and Seahawks, or shall we move on?
Just a quick that both those teams, I couldn't really separate them. They're both 6-3. They look to be good teams, but they both just seem so vulnerable to just not have a great game. You know, like that's what it, like, week in, week out, they both can be very different teams than they were before. They can have such high upsides, but then also really, really low downsides as well. And I don't know. I just have no faith really in either one of them. They're good teams, but as far as the playoffs go, I don't see either one of these teams doing much of anything.
Yeah, we'll talk about one reason why they might the Jags are a little bit of a disappointment here in just a few minutes. So let's get on to our midseason MVPs and busts. All right, so let's just start off with pull the Band-Aid off, talk about the busts, the players that have not been very exciting. The guy that I was just referring to is Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley was really supposed to come in here and help the Jaguars offense level up, help them kind of be that a team that was able to take a step forward and be a Super Bowl contender. Trevor Lawrence was the number one pick, generational talent, all that stuff. But he has been very, very short of that expectation. So that's going to be my number one guy that I'm going to mark up as a bust. And I'm also going to, you know, kill two birds with one stone and call that one of my correct predictions in the preseason. Because if you will all remember, I was a Calvin Ridley hater in the preseason.
Yeah, no, you 100% got that one right. This is why, I mean, the Jags, like I said, are still a great team. But I was hoping that they were Super Bowl contenders, because just imagine if Calvin Ridley was Amon-Ra St. Brown or CeeDee Lamb, right? That's what we're hoping they would come into that offense and do and be, and then they could take that step up. And he has not done that at all. So, unfortunately, yeah, it just hurts the team as a whole.
Yep. You want to give us your first bust, Clayton?
Yeah, so my number one bust is Tony Pollard. Oh, man. He was drafted as an RB1, and he has had about half of his weeks have been disappointments, scoring under 8 points in half PPR formats. And it's just week after week, even in good matchups, Tony Pollard just has not really produced. He has, of course, you know, had some great weeks, but overall he has not been near the running back that we're hoping that he would be. And I know for me personally, I have him in two leagues, and in both of those leagues, I've lost multiple weeks because Tony Pollard has put up like 5 points or 6 points or something like that. So, yeah, Tony Pollard has been a huge bust this year.
Yeah, I've had him in a league or two, and it's been no fun. My next bust is going to be Devontae Smith, wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles, and I think Clayton, you and I can both write him up as a correct prediction from the offseason. Neither of us liked him coming into the year, did we?
Cha-ching! Yeah, 100%. Same with T. Higgins, if you want to throw that out there. And Jalen Waddle. Like, we were literally warning people, like, hey, these guys are WR2s. Maybe you don't want to draft them. They seem to be rather high, and all three of those guys have been pretty big disappointments. So, yeah, good on us for that one. Even Chris Olave, for that matter, which RB2, definitely not, but yeah, he was in that list, so to say, and he hasn't been quite what we're hoping for either.
Yeah, and also I should clarify, on this list, we're not talking about players who are busts due to injury, because, you know, that's a little bit obvious and kind of a cheap shot at people. Like, for example, Nick Chubb, oh yeah, he's a bust, yeah, whatever, he tore his ACL, boohoo.
No, no way.
Jonathan Taylor,
you could say.
Yeah. I just saw something today, Clayton. I'm pretty sure the Cleveland – I didn't fact check it, but it said that the Cleveland Browns were, like, I think third in the league in rushing. And after seeing that, I'm like, can you imagine if they had Nick Chubb? If they're third in the league in rushing without Nick Chubb, would the guy run for, like, 1,800 rushing yards at a minimum? I mean, come on.
Who was the running back that – I didn't get a single one of course, but both of us wanted in every single league.
McCaffrey.
One guy. Well, okay, that wasn't RB1. What was our target? Our running back target in the early rounds.
Oh,
it was
Chubb.
Always Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, 100%, this is why. We were correct. I think we can firmly say that we're correct in a prediction that the player didn't, you know, got injured in week two or whatever it was. But yeah, it just, if Chubb was playing football right now, he would give McCaffrey a run for his money. And that's saying something.
Yeah, he would be awesome. So anyway, moving on, who is your second bust?
Yeah, so my second bust is going to be DK Metcalf. You'll see his name pop up later in this episode. And it's just that he just doesn't look like that great. Honestly, I think he's talent-wise, I think that he is WR2 on this team. I think Tyler Lockett is a better receiver than DK Metcalf. It's just straight up. Like, the way that he gets open and is crucial for the, like, keeping plays and drives alive, getting 15, 16-yard catches downfield. Whereas Metcalf, he doesn't get a lot of separation. There has to be a lot of, like, forced balls thrown to him. That have to be put into really tight windows. Sometimes, obviously, he can get open. He still can be a great receiver. But even on jump balls, a lot of times, I'll see Metcalf not really be the Metcalf that we expect him to be. And it's shown in fantasy football. He just hasn't really put up those great games that we're hoping that he would. I don't know exactly what wide receiver he is on the season, but he has been a major disappointment in his production, given his targets, because he's getting targeted a lot and getting a lot of opportunities, but he's just not really doing anything with it, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't have a whole lot to add there. The last bust that I'm going to mention is actually three guys in one. They're all running backs, and they were all drafted in the same area. And this was not my best offseason prediction. They were all drafted in what is generally known in the fantasy community as the RB dead zone. But this year, I was thinking, along with some other people, but I was thinking that this portion of what's traditionally the RB dead zone might have some value. And the three running backs that I'm thinking of are Damian Pierce, Alexander Mattison, and Miles Sanders. Now, if you drafted any of those three guys onto your team, would you be happy right now? Because I know I drafted plenty of all of them, and I am not happy. So I'm going to put those three in a basket and call it a basket of busts.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you there. Madison, I know personally, he was one of my preseason MVPs, and it just has not gone his way. The offensive line for the Vikings have just been horrendous in the pass block, in the run blocking. They've been pretty good in pass block, but even whenever Madison seems to be the guy again, then Akers comes in, and then Akers goes out, and then it's all of a sudden, oh, Ty Chandler's getting way more opportunities than anyone saw. So it just seems like the Vikings themselves are kind of moving on from him, from being their number one running back, and it's very unfortunate for all three of them, honestly. Pierce looks to be taken over by Devin Singletary, and Sanders seems to have been replaced by Chuba Hubbard, so all three of them are really just not performing the way that we're hoping that they would.
Yep. All right, you've got one more bust for us.
Yeah, so my last bust is going to be none other than Cooper Kupp himself, because you drafted him still fairly highly, hoping that he might even come back in the first week whenever in a lot of drafts, and he missed a lot of weeks. And then whenever he came back, he did have a good week or two, but then after that, he once again, like I think this is the last 3 or 4 weeks of play, he has underperformed greatly. I think he's scoring like 5 or 6 points in each of those weeks. So Cooper Kupp has just not really helped your team at all outside of like a week or so. So for such, you probably spent a second or third round draft pick on him, if not maybe even a first. So spending such a high draft value and then getting maybe 1 week of help has been a major hindrance, I'm sure, for a lot of teams that drafted him. So Cooper Kupp has been a pretty big bust.
Fair enough. That makes a lot of sense. Fortunately, we get to now move on to some more happy reminiscing about some MVPs. Yay! So I'll start things off with a guy that I know we were both in on and we both liked a lot and drafted plenty of, and that is Keenan Allen of the Los Angeles Chargers, who I think, depending on scoring and whatnot, he's sitting at wide receiver 3, and he's had multiple weeks as the number one wide receiver. So he's been, super fantastic despite his age. I think his age was the main reason people were letting him fall to like the 3rd and 4th round. I didn't understand it myself, neither did you, but I don't know. He's been great.
Oh, yeah, certainly. There have been multiple weeks where he just straight up wins you a week, you know? And that's what you're looking for, especially where you drafted him as like a high-end WR2, and he just goes out there and like, I think about four weeks now, he's just went out there and been like, oh, hey, you win this week. You know, so yeah, he's been extremely valuable for fantasy rosters.
Yeah.
My first MVP, and I don't think that you can spell MVP without this man, is Christian McCaffrey himself. And obviously, like, oh, well, he was drafted as, you know, number two, or so on the thing. So how can he really be? This man has scored a touchdown every single week except for last week, I suppose. But he has just went out there and produced week after week after week. He's been that staple guy that scores you 20-something points every single week. And has, if you are under 500 having McCaffrey on your team, then maybe you should just quit fantasy football, because he has just been that rock-set steady guy scoring you number one running back's points every single week.
Dude, it's hard for a number one. I don't know if he was number one, but a top three draft pick to be an MVP, because they were already drafted so high. So, you know. But considering what the running back landscape has been like this season, he's earned the title of a MVP despite being in the first round already.
Certainly. Yeah, and you'll notice on here that we don't put I mean, we're not just going to put a bunch of, like, high draft value guys out there. It's just McCaffrey has been that good again.
Yeah, I think McCaffrey and Keenan Allen are the only two that were in the top 12 rounds, probably.
Right.
Speaking of, let's talk about somebody who was undrafted, and that is Sam Howell of the Washington Commanders. He is the quarterback 3 so far this year. Clayton, would you have believed somebody if they just walked up to you on the street and said, hey, did you know Sam Howell's a quarterback 3 on the year?
No, it was pointed out to me, like, in class, the guy next to me plays in, I think as many leagues as I do, and he actually pointed out to me. I was like, wait, what? Sam Howell is quarterback 3 on the season? I thought he was doing, he's doing pretty good. He's, like, quarterback 10 or 11 or so, and I was like, quarterback 3? This man has been on a tear. So, yeah, Sam Howell, definitely.
Yep. I'm going to real quick talk about one more guy who was probably undrafted and has been a borderline wide receiver 1. For a long time, he was a wide receiver 1, and he's kind of the flip side of Cooper Kupp. He has value because Cooper Kupp missed time, and that's Puka Nacua, the rookie wide receiver for the Rams. Started off on a heater, and even after Cooper Kupp's return, he's had some good games. Now that Stafford is hopefully going to return this week, we're looking for Kupp and Puka Nacua to hopefully be able to continue their run of helping our fantasy teams.
Yeah, certainly. I know I need him in a couple of leagues, so hopefully he can have a good return.
I remember early on in the season, you were quick to pick up both Puka Nacua and Kyren Williams.
Yes, certainly. Kyren Williams, I hope he comes back with a vengeance off of IR.
Yeah.
Well, that's yet to be seen. So I have the same reservations about him as I do Achan. My number 2 MVP this season has been Raheem Mostert. I mean, you spent a waiver, a dart throw, late round pick on him, and he has been running back 2 on the year, only under McCaffrey. And he, same with McCaffrey, he has multiple weeks just went out there and put up multiple touchdowns and given you a massive score that just basically automatically wins you the week. Mostert has been a huge running back boon for a lot of teams. And yeah, Mostert is definitely has outproduced any expectations that we might have thought he would have.
I remember just before the the biggest draft weekend, there was a lot of news coming out about the Miami backfield and Jeff Wilson being put on IR and Mostert was going to get the starting job. And all of a sudden, he went from maybe he's valuable in super late rounds to he's kind of the sneakiest, like, who's going to pull the trigger first? And whoever ends up pulling the trigger first is probably making a great decision. Like, your sister, Clayton, your sister drafted him in, like, the 10th round, and everybody goes, really?
The pick before me. Yeah, like, because I was, like, 100% sure, like, he was coming because he was way down on the draft board. I think he was, like, 8 running backs down on who was left. And I'm sitting there next, like, oh, yeah, I'm moving my fingers, like, yes, I get Mostert next pick, let's go. Like, he's already locked into my lineup. And then she just snags him. I'm like, no, are you serious right now? So, yeah, maybe if I had him on my team, I wouldn't be 3-7 in that league like I am.
Yep. Ah, man. All right, 2 more running backs who didn't end up having any draft day hype, but early on in the season ended up becoming super valuable. That's Zach Moss and Gus Edwards. Zach Moss, I think during week 1, was not valuable at all because he had broken his forearm in the offseason. But once he returned from his broken forearm, he was fantastic during Jonathan Taylor's injury time. And then even the first couple weeks that Jonathan Taylor was back, he had some good games. This most recent week, it looks like he might be useless the rest of the season. We'll see. But we're looking at the past, not the future. So through this point in the season, Zach Moss has been an MVP. Probably he's gotten a lot of teams into playoff position. And then Gus Edwards was another guy who was very similar. J.K. Dobbins went down with an injury. And Gus Edwards has stepped in and scored a boatload of touchdowns. So those two guys are two players I wanted to give a shout out for as fantasy MVPs.
Certainly. And my last MVP duo, I kind of threw them together, have been Adam Thielen and Jordan Addison. And both of these guys were later round pickups, like at the end of your draft is generally whenever you drafted these guys to be like your WR4 or 5. And they have both just outproduced that immensely. And Jordan Addison has been like a huge touchdown target. Adam Thielen, on the other hand, has been more of like a rock steady, getting a bunch of yardage. But both of them have been much better than we expected and have been great wide receiver fill-ins for our teams.
Yep, those are some good, surprising wide receivers. Both of them had, you could see the path for them to be good, but there were a lot of questions and doubts. We liked Addison, but I think neither of us liked Thielen very much. So anyway, they've kind of put together their best season that I would have predicted.
Certainly. Speaking of the Adam Thielen, I had Adam Thielen-esque hopes for Addison that he would come in there and actually be a WR1. Like, that was the insane ceiling that I was thinking for him, which is why he was, like, one of my MVP in the preseason. He didn't quite hit that, and he just doesn't quite seem to be like that yet. But he has been a lot better than we drafted him to be, thankfully. Unfortunately, rest of the season, it looks like he probably won't be playable. I mean, he'll be like playable, but it's more like, oh, I am more desperate at wide receiver and then I play Addison than him being like a lineup lock.
Right. I've got two wide receivers myself that I want to mention, and I grouped them together because they are both Houston Texans wide receivers, Nico Collins and Tank Dell. And they are going to very much buck the trend of rookie quarterbacks not producing top 36 wide receivers. We talked about that quite a bit in the offseason, and that was one of the main reasons I wasn't interested in any Houston wide receivers. But so far, they're both top 15 wide receivers. So Nico Collins and Tank Dell, y'all should thank CJ Stroud for being a fantastic rookie quarterback, for sure.
Certainly. You might need to rethink that stat too, because Adam Thielen has Bryce Young and Sam Howell has Terry McLaurin, so rookie quarterbacks seem to be giving pretty good numbers to some of these receivers.
Yes, true. Although technically Howell is a sophomore quarterback, but yeah.
Oh, is he? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see what Anthony Richardson would have done if he was playing a full season, because started off decently well with Pittman. Yeah. Clayton, of your MVP guys you listed, if you had to choose one to give the MVP trophy to, like, let's say the guys that you listed are the nominees, they are the finalists for the MVP award, and now you have to decide, I'm putting you on the spot, which one gets the award?
I mean, it has to go to McCaffrey. Again, I know he was the first running back off the board, but he has just been so insane. Thielen hasn't been great, but not like, you know, league winners. Most are the same way, where he's been more a product of opportunity, I would say, and just that, you know, the offense going insane. And he doesn't look to really be that great rest of the season, maybe. Like, he's more of a trade-away target than a trade-for target. Whereas McCaffrey, he just looks as steady as ever, and he looks to probably win a lot of people championships. So, yeah, McCaffrey, MVP, man.
Yeah. For myself, if I had to choose one, I think I would have to go Zach Moss, just because running backs are so hard to find. And for teams like mine that lost Nick Chubb or J.K. Dobbins, or who were expecting to have Jonathan Taylor or whatever the case may be, he filled in fantastically. And I do appreciate players who are really good for a certain couple of weeks and then make it very clear later that you don't want to play them anymore. I don't like it when players are making you debating whether or not to start them and then they put up bad scores. And so it just hurts your team. And you're like, man, I just wish you would have disappeared into the ether and I could have started somebody else that was on my bench. So that's where, yeah, Zach Moss is going to be my MVP thus far through the season. All righty, let's move on to some trade targets. We're going to talk about some players we want to buy and players we want to sell. Should we do sell first, Clayton?
Yeah, I might as well get the bat out of the way, again. So, I'll go ahead and start us off here. Yeah, so to preface this, me and John Henry both went at this a different way. Johnny Bestball, he went at it as the rest of the season, like holistically, whereas I purposely looked at week 16 and 17 specifically, and which are going to be the playoffs or the championship for most people in most leagues. So this is like, okay, well, I'm probably going to make the playoffs. These are guys that I want to either sell, trade away or trade for, that are really going to help me or hinder me in the championship games. So for me, my busts are going to be Saquon Barkley. He has two extremely bad matchups. I think Dallas is one of them and San Francisco is the other. And so he looks to not be that great, especially with that Giants offense being what it is. I doubt that he'll be able to put up a very good score in those games. Both Montgomery and Gibbs also have horrible matchups in week 16 and 17, so they look to be possible tradeaways. And then going over to receivers, there is the Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle combination. Obviously, Hill's WR1 on the season. Waddle's been a disappointment, but they have very, very rough matchups the last 2 weeks of the season, so if you can trade Hill for a buttload, then I would definitely do that, because the Dolphins have shown a propensity to not produce in those tough games against tough defenses, and that is exactly what they have in week 16 and 17. And then my last one is going to be Amari Cooper. Cooper's been kind of up and down this season, but in week 16 and 17, again, both weeks he has extremely tough matchups, so if you can get good value for Cooper, I would certainly do so.
Yeah, that I agree with all those. I'm not going to have any bones to pick with your list. I think that's great, and several of those guys I was already thinking about myself, so we are on the same wavelength there. My trade recommendations would be Alvin Kamara. Part of this has to do with workload. It's been going down. Also, he's a little bit older, so there is a little bit of injury concern. But then also his matchups are not great towards the end of the season. He's somebody that has produced really well since he returned from his suspension. And I think it's because he's been fresh. He's had, you know, fresh legs. Whereas throughout the rest of the season, that's not going to be the case, and defenses are going to get tougher. The next guy I would recommend looking to sell, if possible, is Nico Collins of the Texans. He's been in the league for several years and been just all right. And kind of the last 2 weeks, we've seen that Tank Dell might just be the better wide receiver. And so, because Nico Collins has had a fairly good stretch recently, you might be able to trade him away for in a package for somebody really good and proven. So that's why I would be looking to trade Nico Collins potentially. And then Raheem Mostert's the last guy. This kind of is on the same trend as Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. He just doesn't have great matchups. And then on top of that, like we mentioned in the news segment, Devon Achane is returning. And Jeff Wilson is also back now. So this might turn into a pretty unattractive committee, which means a lot less value for Raheem Mostert.
Right, and so now moving on to trade targets. First off, is a guy that I was out of in the preseason and been proven right. He has not had a very good season, and that is Ramondre Stevenson. However, the last couple weeks of the season, past this upcoming one, which is a bye, he has the Giants, the Chargers, the Pittsburgh. And then in week 16 and 17, which I'm focused on, he plays Denver and Buffalo. Both have looked rather vulnerable to the run. So Denver's defense has looked a little bit better, but I still think that the running game should be fine. So especially with how weak that Stevenson has looked recently, I think that you should be able to get him for a fairly good value. So if you can get him in trade, that would definitely be a pretty good one.
Yeah, he was somebody that even a few weeks ago I was looking at for as a trade target because I knew the second half of his season schedule was good, including the playoffs. So totally on board with you there. Another running back that I'm looking to target is one of our midseason busts that we discussed. You might be able to get him on the cheap because he has been a little bit of a bust so far, and that's Tony Pollard. This is not a a playoff specific target. I think this is, if you are a team that is 5-5 or 6-4 or 4-6, and you really need somebody to help you make the playoffs over the next 5 weeks, then Tony Pollard is a good target because this week he plays Carolina, and then he has the Washington Commanders, and then the Seattle Seahawks. Those are all good matchups for running backs. Then he plays the Philadelphia Eagles. Not a great matchup for running backs, but if he is able to be involved as a pass catcher in that game, then he will have value there. And then you get the Buffalo Bills, which is another favorable running back matchup. Week 16 and 17, it's Miami and Detroit. Those are both below average matchups for running backs, but if he can help you make the playoffs, then that would be worth it. It's better to have Tony Pollard. You know, I don't know what exactly you would have to give up to get him, but if the manager is super disappointed and out on him, and maybe you could trade like a Nico Collins for a Tony Pollard, maybe you could make that work. Or in Nico Collins and Gus Edwards, I might even do if I'm desperate. So there you go.
I have Tony Pollard in the league, and I will happily trade him to you. He is on my bus list, and I would be surprised if that changes.
All right, we're going to have to talk after the pod.
So, yeah, we might have to talk. So my second trade for targets, I should say, is going to be the Diggs, Gabe Davis, and Don Kincaid suite. They have the Chargers and then New England as the last two matchups of the season. And so, especially with Davis and Kincaid are really the two. I don't think that you're going to be able to get Diggs from anyone. But I think that you should be able to get Gabe Davis and Kincaid relatively cheap. So, if you could get either one of those, I think that they could be a pretty good flex options or tight end option for Kincaid, obviously, going into the last 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very interested to see what their offense looks like after they fired Ken Dorsey. Speaking of that team, we didn't mention that on the news segment, but that was interesting. The Buffalo moved on from their offensive coordinator. So hopefully they will figure out some things on their offense, and I guess if anybody was paying attention, they would have noticed neither Clayton nor I had the Buffalo Bills as one of our top 10 teams.
Nope. They have looked rough.
Yeah, and you would not have expected that in the preseason. Alrighty. So on to my next trade target. I'm going to talk about Lamar Jackson here. Lamar Jackson has been up and down, not super high scoring on average. He's had a couple good games and a couple bad games. He was my quarterback two before the season started, so I still believe that he's a very high-end fantasy asset. His matchups are, he's playing Thursday Night Football right now, and then next week he has the Chargers, which is a great matchup, a bye week, which isn't ideal, and then the Rams, a good matchup, Jacksonville is a good matchup, San Francisco is a, all right, not, it's a below, I would say slightly below average matchup, and then Miami in week 17. So pretty much every week from now till the end of the season, he has a good matchup except for a bye week in San Francisco. So if the manager of Lamar Jackson is, you know, not happy with him and they are interested in moving on for a decent price, then Lamar Jackson, I think, is explosive enough to help you win in a lot of weeks that you might otherwise not expect to win. He can be a really big, you know, week changer for your team.
Certainly. Unfortunately, due to the name value, I highly doubt you're going to be able to get Lamar Jackson for any type of decent price, but maybe so.
Yeah, you might be right.
That's the problem with same thing with Tony Pollard. He has been a bit more of a disappointment, so maybe you can actually get him, but it's hard to get those name value guys because generally the managers just don't want to get rid of them, even if they have been disappointing.
Yeah, Pollard is a little easier since he hasn't been a star for as long. I mean, Lamar won right. MVP like 4 years ago and has been really good for several years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good luck getting Lamar Jackson from someone.
I'm still going to try.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of rejected offers.
Yeah. Don't worry, that already happens.
So, yeah, very true. My third trade for target is going to be DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. They, for the last 4 weeks, so obviously looking at the last two, but the last 4 weeks of the season for them looks to be extremely good. Week 14, they have San Francisco, which I still think the San Francisco defense is good, but the passing game is definitely where you beat them because you don't want to run the ball on them very much. So that should still be a relatively good matchup. Philadelphia, first, you know, giving up points against wide receivers. And then in week 16 and 17, you have Tennessee and Pittsburgh. Again, both pretty good defenses, but similar to, I mean, all four of these are good defenses, but they're all giving up yards and touchdowns to the pass because they shut down the run game and they force you to pass the ball on them. And so all four of these matchups are pretty good matchups, especially for the Seahawks receivers. So if you could get Metcalf or Lockett for a good value, they should really help you in the last 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, that's fair. I am on board with you there. My next trade target is going to be Devontae Smith of the Philadelphia Eagles. And last year, Devontae Smith was really good when Dallas Goedert was injured. This year, he has not been good. He made my bust list, but Dallas Goedert is now injured. They're listing him as doubtful, but he hasn't participated in practice at all. So he's definitely going to be out this week. I would imagine there's a better than 50% chance he doesn't play next week. And then if I'm the Eagles, they have such a good record. Why would you rush your tight end back? Just, you know, let him take an extra week or two to get healthy and be right for the playoffs. So Devontae Smith for the next several weeks will hopefully have a fair amount of value just based on the circumstances with their team and their personnel. But then, Clayton, you will appreciate this. Specifically in Week 16 and 17, Devontae Smith plays the New York Giants and the Arizona Cardinals. So I think those are some pretty fine matchups for Mr. Devontae Smith.
I thought about it. It's just I don't want Devontae Smith. It's as simple as that. Same thing with A.J. Brown. Like, just due to name value, I highly doubt you'll be able to get A.J. Brown. Also why I didn't put him on there. But I don't want Devontae Smith. For the asking price that I'm sure that the manager is going to ask for him, given the value of him in the preseason. Maybe if you can get Devontae Smith for a good price, but I do not want Devontae Smith on my team to rely on him, to be honest with you.
Interesting. Okay. I'm trying to remember what I offered for Devontae Smith, because I'm in so many leagues and I send out so many trade offers. I know I've traded for Marquise Brown in several, which I'll talk about in just a minute. I think when I tried to get Devontae Smith, let's see here. I'm going to check my trades. So I offered, I accepted a trade. So here's the trade. We're going to talk about a real trade that actually happened. I sent away Terry McLaurin and Tyler Allgeier for, I'm getting Devontae Smith and Chuba Hubbard. So what do you think about that one? And just for reference, Terry McLaurin has a bye in week 14, a Rams matchup in week 15, a Jets matchup in week 16, and a San Francisco 49ers matchup in week 17.
Yeah, you freaking destroyed that trade. I mean, Tyler Allgeier compared to Hubbard. Hubbard looks to be the RB1 in that backfield right now.
Yep.
And, I mean, like I said, I don't want Devonta Smith. True, but, I mean, I'd much rather have him than Terry McLaurin in those matchups. So, you definitely won that trade handily.
All right, so if any of you out there are listening and you're wondering what's a good price to send for Terry McLaurin, I mean for Devontae Smith, think about Terry McLaurin or somebody similar to him. And if the manager wants significantly more than that, it's probably not worth it, but if you can get it done for a similar price to that, then there you go.
Certainly. So for me, speaking of Devontae Smith, I'm going to take the running back as my last trade target. And that's going to be, of course, DeAndre Swift. So he has been relatively good, but week one all the way until week 14, he has red or neutral matchups the entire year up until week 15. And from there, he plays Seattle, the Giants, and then Arizona. So due to him being relatively capped the entire season in these matchups, he hasn't really had those like insane crazy games. So I think that you should be able to get him for a relatively good price. And then in the last 3 weeks of the season, he plays extremely good matchups where he has the opportunity to score you like just championship winning like 30 something points. So I think that DeAndre Swift, like of the guys I've talked about, he is my number one trade for target. Because if you can get him, he has a very high chance to straight up win you championships.
Yeah. You talked about Saquon Barkley as one of your sell targets. I just, yesterday, I want to say it was, I traded Saquon Barkley for DeAndre Swift. Does that seem like a reasonable trade to you?
Oh, my goodness. That's my wet dream right now. I have like three different trade offers in different leagues for DeAndre Swift, and I haven't even gotten an answer back on any of them. So I'm hoping I get a similar trade to what you just said, because that would be amazing.
Yeah. I've got another league with a trade offer for DeAndre Swift where I'm offering Gus Edwards and Amari Cooper. I don't know what the guy thinks about DeAndre Swift or Gus Edwards, so we'll see. If that trade gets accepted, I will be our preseason happy as a schoolgirl.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my last trade for target is Marquise Brown. And the reason I'm interested in trading for Marquise is he was fairly productive with Josh Dobbs there as quarterback in Arizona. And in the past, we've seen him be productive with Kyler Murray at a fairly high level. And he's also just one of those guys who can break games open and score like 25 plus points certain weeks. And the later we get in the season, the more that seems to be important to have guys that are game winners. Talking about his playoff matchup specifically, week 16 and 17, he plays the Chicago Bears and the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia being a pass funnel defense and Chicago Bears just not being a defense at all. So that's kind of why I'm targeting Marquise Brown. And for reference, it kind of broke my heart a little bit to do this. I traded Chris Olave for Marquise Brown in one league, and I was happier in this other league. I traded T. Higgins for Marquise Brown.
Yeah, I certainly can understand that.
Oh, man, I just realized I didn't put on the list two other guys that I would recommend trading for. Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk. I'm just going to throw those in here real quick. Those two San Francisco wide receivers. San Francisco has a great end-of-season schedule for quarterbacks and wide receivers. They play a lot of soft pass defenses. So I would recommend trading for both of those guys if you have the opportunity to. Their games are... It's not specifically the playoff schedule, but they play Tampa Bay this week, Seattle, Philadelphia, Seattle, Arizona, Baltimore, Washington. So...
Yeah, it's pretty insane. I omitted them because of those last two that you said. Like, if I would not trade for them as a... Like, if you're already pretty much locked for the playoffs, don't trade for them because they have pretty bad matchups in week 16 and 17. But if you are struggling to get to the playoffs and you need wins, then they are major trade for targets. Like, maybe that's some... You know, maybe you trade someone that has better matchups in the playoffs for them because they have extremely good matchups up until the playoffs, and then they don't have so great ones.
Yeah, week 17 isn't bad, though, in the playoffs against Washington. Week 16 against Baltimore is the tough one.
That's like a 2.5-star matchup against Washington.
Well, they traded their Chase Young and Montez Sweat, so now their defense is a lot less formidable.
That's true.
Alrighty, well, we are now... past the 1 hour mark, so we're gonna go through our start sit recommendations a little quicker than normal, but we're gonna start things off with a couple of guys that we would recommend sitting. Clayton, you want to talk about the first couple for you?
Yeah, so I'm just going to blaze through these. First of all, we have DK Metcalf. I talked about him being a disappointment, and this week he goes against the Rams, which has been pretty good against the pass. He obviously, like, I have him in three leagues. I'm starting him in two of those leagues. He is the type of receiver that you still probably start him, but he's certainly, certainly sittable this week if you have options elsewhere that, you know, obviously we'll talk about later. The next two is Isaiah Pacheco. He goes up against the Eagles defense, and he's looked to disappear in certain matchups. This certainly seems to be one of them, in the Eagles being one of the best run defenses. So probably want to sit Pacheco unless you're desperate. And then same exact thing can be said for Rashad White, where he's looked extremely good in some matchups and then he disappears in others. And going against that San Francisco run defense, that is not a defense I want to play my running back against. So if at all possible, sit both of these running backs.
Yeah. One wide receiver I would put in a similar bucket to DK Metcalf is DeAndre Hopkins. He plays Jacksonville this week, and Jacksonville, man, their defense is so confusing. Sometimes they play really well, sometimes they don't. But with Will Levis under center, it's hard to trust what's going on there. So if you have a decent option outside of D-Hop, I would start them. If you do need to start D-Hop, that's fine. I would just build in some upside in the rest of your lineup. I'll go ahead and give a couple of guys that I would recommend starting. I've just got two wide receivers this week that kind of stuck out to me. Tank Dell is already pretty highly ranked, and I think he should be a lineup lock. Nico Collins, his teammate, is a little bit lower ranked, and that makes sense. You heard me talk about him earlier in the show about how I understand and agree with the fact that he may not be as good as Tank Dell. But this week against Arizona, it's time to play all pass catchers. Start Tank Dell, start Nico Collins, start Dalton Schultz, start CJ Stroud. Nico Collins is a start, a green light go this week. And then another guy who...
What about the new hotness there? Noah Brown, would you recommend him?
No.
No? Okay, you think he's fool's gold? He scored like 20-some points the last 2 weeks, I believe.
The problem is... I don't remember exactly what it was last week, but the week before, I think he scored all those points on like 3 or 4 receptions. So if it wasn't for the fact that they were deep bombs... I mean, it was like DeAndre Hopkins 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, DeAndre Hopkins was the wide receiver 2 on the week with only 3 catches, but all 3 of them were... No, I think he had 4 catches for 3 touchdowns, and multiple of them were over 50 yards. So, you know, that was great, but then the next 2 weeks he scored 8 points and 4 points. So Noah Brown
I can certainly understand that, but... Last week, he had 8 targets for 7 receptions, going for 172 yards. So he is consistently getting really big plays. And the week before, he had 6 for 6 for 153 and a touchdown. So
yeah, you know, if you have a wild hair and you want to start Noah Brown, I don't have a problem with it. It's just I don't think he's proven enough yet. Speaking of him, though, Clayton, how do you feel about the fact that your Cowboys moved on from him? Because he was a rookie there, wasn't
perfectly
he?
Perfectly fine. Yeah, he did a whole bunch of nothing there for a while. I wish they would move on from Michael Gallup, to be honest with you, and make Cooks a lot more a part of this offense. I know you aren't the biggest fan of Cooks, but I think that Cooks is a pretty good receiver, and I want them to make, especially in this like very pass-happy West Coast offense, that they would make Cooks a lot more part of this offense than they have.
Yeah, no, I do like Cooks. In the offseason, our difference was about Gallup. I liked Gallup a little more than you do, and so far it seemed like you are correct that Gallup is not much of a player for them.
I've watched too many Cowboys games to have any hope in Gallup.
Right. Well, the other guy that I was going to recommend starting is Rashi Rice, the wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs against the Philadelphia Eagles. If this game does end up being an exciting back and forth game, he is the most likely beneficiary of that. And Philadelphia's secondary is just all right. Rashi Rice is also near the tops in the NFL in yards after catch. So he can make things happen. You know, there's a reason he's ranked as wide receiver 35. Things could end up not working out super great for him, but I think he has a decent floor of like 6 or 7 points and a ceiling of maybe 18 to 20 points. So Rashi Rice is somebody that I'm looking to flex this week.
That is certainly understandable going up against there. Someone on that KC offense has to be good, especially against that Eagles defense, giving up the most points, I believe, against wide receivers. So
yeah.
Rashi Rice should be a fairly stable dart throw this week. So I'm going to blaze through. I got 5 guys that look to be pretty good plays this week. Number 1 is going to be Terry McLaurin. You probably are starting him already, but I just want to ensure that he is a roster lock for you going against the Giants. He's more of an up and down receiver, but this week it looks to be a huge up, especially playing against a team in the conference. He generally does good against teams in the conference. Next is Devin Singletary. You're probably picking him up off of the waiver wire, maybe you did last week, but Singletary going up against the aforementioned Arizona Cardinals, he is basically a lineup lock. Like, I don't really see sitting Devin Singletary, so if you got him, play him. And then some more deeper targets is going to be Ty Chandler for the Minnesota. it looks like Madison is probably going to miss this week. And if that is the case, then Ty Chandler is similar to Devin Singletary going against, he's going against Denver, which is currently number one, I believe, against the run. So I would like, he, again, unless you just have like insane options at running back, he is basically an auto start. And then two other options is going to be Amari Cooper. He is going against Pittsburgh this week, which seems to be a relatively good matchup. And he is down at wide receiver 29. And I think that he deserves to be quite a bit higher than that. He's more of like a low-end RB2. So I would definitely start Amari Cooper this week. I would not be afraid of the Pittsburgh pass defense necessarily. And with a rookie quarterback, obviously that does scare you a little bit, but I think that Amari Cooper, he's shown to be quarterback proof time and time again, so I would not be surprised if he is still fine there. And then the last guy I have, again, waiver wire pickup. If you're more in a desperation situation, then Daryl Henderson is once again going to be available going against Seattle. Seattle is an okay matchup, so this is definitely not so like a lineup lock by any means, but he should be get about 60% of the touches in that backfield, with Royce Freeman getting the other 40. So if you're in more of a desperation situation, then Daryl Henderson should be a pretty good plug-in.
There you go. I agree with all that. I think you made some good points, and so hopefully everybody listening can take that advice and run with it, make their lineups bulletproof for week 11. We should talk about two quarterbacks real quick that are streaming options. The first one is going to be Josh Dobbs, the boy wonder of the NFL this year. I mean, it's kind of crazy what he's been doing. Nobody seems to want him, but everywhere he goes seems to love that he's there. And then yeah,
he's the bald Ryan Fitzpatrick. he's just freaking lighting up the league. Like, he went out there and he didn't even start the game, I believe. It was the rookie guy, but then he got in I think halfway through the second quarter or so, and they were already down like two touchdowns or something like that. And he just casually went out there and went, oh yeah, no, we're going to come out here and just beat them. I think it was the Bills, if I'm not wrong. That man has been on a tear this year.
Yeah. The second quarterback that's worthwhile is Matt Stafford, the Rams quarterback. He will more than likely, the news says he's coming back from his thumb injury. He's been good early on in the season. His problem earlier in the season was generally a lot of pass yards, no touchdowns. But touchdowns tend to be the statistic that can regress positively. And he still has Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua as great wide receiver weapons. So if you've got need for a quarterback, I think Matt Stafford is very much worthwhile.
Certainly. And for Joshua Dobbs, I just have to point out that he has scored 25 points the last 3 weeks. And the week that I was discussing was actually the Atlanta Falcons. I think that they were up about two touchdowns. And Joshua Dobbs just came out there and put up 25 points only playing 2.5 quarters. And beat the Falcons. So,
yep.
Yeah, Joshua Dobbs, honestly, if he is still on the waiver wire, he needs to be picked up because, like I said, he's scored 25 points the last 3 weeks, and he is currently number 9 on the season. I think he's quarterback 7 or so, I want to say. So, yeah, Joshua Dobbs has been on a tear and needs to get a bit more credit than he has been.
Yep. All righty. Well, with all that said, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. Hopefully y'all can turn into the home stretch as we start to set our sights on the playoffs and finish strong through the regular season. Stay tuned for next week's shows as we continue to help y'all prepare for the playoffs, and We wish you all the best of luck in your Week 11 matchups.
Have a great day.